Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I can say this, there was a lot of tension in the home. On the one side, there was anger, and the other side, there was a lot of worry in my home, and there was tension there. And I remember my mom getting together with my grandma and saying, he needs to go to spend a summer with you out in Muskegon, Michigan, right on Lake Michigan. And that was arranged, and I went out there in that summer. And during that summer, between my junior and senior high school, I was reading the Bible, and I got under conviction that I'm going to die and go to hell. And I heard from my grandmother how to be saved, and I believed on Christ. I was born again. That was between my junior and senior high school. I remember coming back to Grand Rapids and, you know, spending my senior year in the home. And then I went to college there 1 year in Grand Rapids before I came out here and went to Baptist Bible College, Clark Summit. But I remember something happened to me that I knew something was different in my life. And you know what it was? I had a peace in my heart. I just was peaceful. I'd never known peace before inside of me. And, you know, the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, is love, joy, peace. And that peace was something I couldn't understand, but it was there inside of my heart. And we are living in days of terrible anger and hate, and we're living in days of worry, and no doubt you struggle with that, or some of you struggle with that. And I thought today I want to preach a message. I hope it'll be a help to you from the Bible, especially Philippians 4, 6, and 7. And it's called The Peace You Need. The peace you need. And when I think about that, I have 2 points, 2 kinds of peace in the Bible that I'd like to look at. First of all, the peace you need is with God, and the second peace you need is the peace of God. There are 2 kinds of peace. The one I just described to you that I noted that I had at 17 years of age was the peace of God. But before that, you must have peace with God. And the Bible says that when you were born from your dad and mom, in Ephesians 2:1, it says you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of this air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it says that among whom also we had our conversation, that means our way of living, in time past, in the lusts of our flesh. And TJ described that, you know, lust of the flesh, just taking drugs, trying to deal with life in his own way. And fulfilling, it says, the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And so we were born dead. That means separated from God. We didn't have a personal relationship to God. You may have had a religion like Islam or Christianity or Mormonism or Buddhism, but that doesn't give you a relationship with God. So we're born dead, and we're under the wrath of God because of the way we've lived our life. In other words, we're at war with God, and God is at war with us for the way that we were and the life that we lived. And the Bible says that in time, in the past time, that, and this is in the book of Isaiah, I'll quote it, Isaiah 58:8 says, the way of peace they know not, and they have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Had a preacher friend of mine, he said, I'm as crooked as a dog's hind leg. You know, we think of crooked Hillary, you hear that? But we're all crooked, really. I mean, if not crooked in the sense of needing to go to jail, we're crooked in the sense is our thoughts and our desires are not what God wants. They're that which God is against. And so we are fighting against God, and we're at war with God, and we don't have peace with God. Because at peace, if you have peace with God, that's what we're talking about now, the war is over. You are now reconciled to God, and you are a friend of God. And so some people think, and I talk to people all the time, and I say, you know, why do you think you're right with God? Why do you think you're going to go to heaven? Well, I talked to a guy the other day. I'm an EMT. I help people. He said, I watch people die, and I help them out when they die, and I rescue them, and I've done all of this thing. And I said, well, let's say you went, I just had a Subway sandwich. It was a delicious sandwich. Not as good as my wife. She made me these sandwiches. Oh, it's to die for. She said, do you want another one, honey? I said, I do, but I don't. I shouldn't. But anyway, I said to him, I said, let's say you went to a Subway sandwich. My wife will appreciate this. No, she won't. You go to a Subway, and you get the spinach, and you get the American cheese or whatever cheese, provolone, whatever you put on it, the mayo, you get the tomatoes in there, you get the chicken in there, or I had some kind of nacho chicken thing, you know, and you get all that stuff in there in that Subway sandwich, and I said, in it is a dead mouse, and maybe with the tail sticking out of the backside of the sandwich. I said, are you going to eat that sandwich? He goes, no! I said, that's the way all the good things you do for people are to God. They're like the cheese, the meat, all the good things. But your sin is like the dead mouse, and it spoils your life. And you know, that's the way we are. And because of that, I'll tell you, if my wife sees a dead mouse, there is no peace. No peace. I had these traps with the, what do you call them, the batteries, and the mouse walks in the trap. You put the peanut butter in there. It's not cheese anymore, peanut butter. They love that. Goes in there and zzz, gets zapped, you know. And my wife told me, take them out. But they weren't dying. I mean, they were dying, but my batteries were wearing out, so the traps weren't catching anything. So I just got the old-fashioned traps where you lift it up and you put it under the sink, you know, and put the peanut butter in that thing, and boom, it was getting them. I caught like 8 in a row. And my wife, she says, I don't even want to see the trap. I don't want to look at the trap. I don't want to know you took the trap out. In other words, shut your trap. Because I like to brag. Hey, I got another mouse. Quiet. Take them out. Okay, I got it. I'm just saying, we were not at peace with God. And God was not at peace with us. We're going one way. God is going a total other way. And our life, and you know, if you're fighting, and perhaps there's somebody here today in this group, you're fighting God. And the Bible tells you, if you're fighting God, you're on the losing side. You will die. You won't go past go. You won't collect $200 in Monopoly. You will die and go straight to hell. You need to be saved. And the Bible says that. And it says, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. And since some of you have been fighting against God, you're going to lose that war. So what do you need to do? You need to get saved. And then after you get saved, you need to put the uniform on. You know what the uniform is, right? You need to get dunked under the water and baptized. If you've been saved, I got saved. I waited 2 years to get baptized. I shouldn't have waited that long, but I didn't know. You're supposed to get baptized right away. And you have peace with God. But peace doesn't come through compromise. Let me give you an example. We fought the Japanese in World War II. How many of you know about that? Raise your hand. All right, good. We fought the Japanese in World War II. You might know the general was General Douglas MacArthur that was in the Pacific Theater. And was it on the Nimitz? Nimitz, Bobby, where was the surrender? Nimitz? What? Missouri. Bobby knows. He knows his battleships. It was on the Mighty Mo, the Missouri, that MacArthur took the surrender of the Japanese imperial leader. If he did not have that surrender, what kind of surrender was it? It was an unconditional surrender. If he didn't get that surrender, we wouldn't be friends of Japan. We'd kind of be like China. Are we really friends of China? Not really. You know, like Trump said, it was the China virus. Why do you say China all that time? Because it came from China. But, you know, it's an unconditional surrender. Then Japan now is our ally, is our friend. China, no. They're fighting against us. And that's the way it is. And in the same way with Germany, they wanted to have a compromise surrender. And the Allies said, nope, you got to surrender unconditionally. By the way, that's the problem I have with Jared Kushner's deal over there, the 20-point plan designed by Jared Kushner. I do have a problem with it. I'm going to make a prediction this morning. It's my prediction. It's not the Bible. It's going to be. It is the Bible. It is in the Bible. I'm sorry. It's going to have war. There's going to be war over there. You cannot have peace without war and unconditional surrender. Do you hear me? You can't have true peace. You're not going to have everlasting peace for sure. These people, they want to kill. I heard a tape, October 7, 2023. It was a Palestinian, not a Hamas, a Palestinian young man. And this is what they learn in the school over there. And he said, he called up, and both his dad and mom were praising him. He said, I killed, like, I think it was 10 Jews today. And they're like, great son. The mom was like, great son. When I heard that, I realized there has to be unconditional surrender. The Israeli government is not perfect. Our government's not perfect, but they're not built on that, you see. I am just saying to you that when it comes to you and God, and when it came to me and God, God required unconditional surrender so that I could have peace with God. And that meant I had to admit to God I'm a sinner. I knew I was a sinner. But I didn't know I was so sinful that 100% I was going to die and go to hell for it. I thought, maybe I'll be good enough. And I thought, what can I do to get into heaven? You see, you have to unconditionally surrender. I'm a sinner, and I'm so sinful that I'm going to go to hell. And you are. If you had one sin in your life, it would be like that dead mouse to my wife. You know, I've never committed murder, but if I hate somebody in my heart, Jesus said, you've committed murder. I haven't cheated on my wife. We've been married 52 years. Long time. Never cheated on her. But he said, if you have lust in your heart, you've committed adultery already. It's like that dead mouse to God. And God convicted me. And I surrendered and I said, I am going to hell. God, how can I be saved? What must I do to be saved? And when I did that, you know what he showed me through my grandma? That God himself came out of heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. Now listen, everybody listen. Back there, you listen up. Lived a perfect life. And then he was willing to be slaughtered as a lamb on a cross. That's what it took to take care of your sin. He went through hell. The Bible said he was so beaten up, he didn't even look like a human being. He was beaten beyond recognition of a man, nailed to that cross. And it was so bad, God had to turn the lights out. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was bearing our sin. I had to surrender and realize that's how I got saved. Not through anything Randy Bloom did. I earned my way into hell. You know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I had good intentions, but I was... what saved me was Jesus' death. And then he was buried. Thank God he didn't stay in the grave. He rose. And I'm saved because of Jesus. And the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says, you're justified. That means that all of your sins were charged to Jesus' account, even the ones you haven't committed yet, for your whole life. He paid for them all. When he said it's finished, that means they're paid. His perfect life, listen to me, that he lived for 33 and a half years. The moment you believed on Christ is charged to your account, and you get all of his A pluses, he got all of your Fs. And now you're accepted as perfect in God's sight. So it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I can say to you, I now have peace with God. I can say to you, God is my friend and I'm God's friend. God's my father and I am his son. And I'm saying to you that that is what you get when you unconditionally surrender to the fact that you're condemned. And you have to realize that you cannot save yourself. You need him to give you a whole new car. It's totaled. And he says he'll give it to you. It's a free gift. Do you have peace with God? You know, when I was a young Christian, I had this peace with God, but I'd be up preaching like I am now, and I was nervous and shy and afraid of preaching, and I was like, oh, man, I feel like I'm failing God, and I felt like God was against me. And do you know what? God is not against you if you're born again. He's always for you. Even if he has to rebuke you, he's for you. Do you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you don't, then surrender to the truth of God and to the wonderful offer of a gift today, right now. Trust him as your Savior. But if you have that peace with God, listen to me, there's another peace that you can have and that you need. You always have peace with God the moment you get saved, and no matter what you're going through, you have it. This thing can come and go. You can have it and lose it. You don't lose your salvation, thank God, but you can lose peace. I wonder, do you have the peace you need? And I'm talking about the peace of God. It says in Galatians chapter 5, and I already mentioned it, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. In other words, when you unconditionally surrender to God's will and you believe on Christ and you're saved and now you have peace with God, God puts his Holy Spirit in you. And the Holy Spirit, he will grant you, when he's in control of your life, he'll grant you love in your heart. You saw that with Charlie Kirk, didn't you? He had love. He was accused of hating. He's accused of being a racist. He was just the opposite of that. He's accused of being a fascist. No, the people that accused him were the people that wouldn't give him freedom of speech like the fascists. No. He had love. It came from the Holy Spirit. He had joy. You know what joy is, right? Joy is not in the haps. That's happiness. That goes up and down. What's happening? What's happening? I'm happy as long as things are happening good. You know, my son and I went out golfing. We shot par. I'm happy about that. I'm happy when Michigan wins. But what if they lose? I'm just saying happiness depends on the haps. But joy is in Jesus. That's what you have when Penn State loses, Bobby. Like they did. Three in a row. You know, when Penn State loses three in a row, I think you get off the happiness roller coaster and you say, I'm not going to put my happiness in a football team. Amen? I'm not going to put my happiness, you see, in everything going good. No, happiness, joy is in Jesus. That is, when you believe on Jesus, you are married to him. That means you're dead to what you were. You're now alive with Jesus into a whole new realm. You're alive to the power of God. You're alive to the presence of God. And in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You're alive to the peace of God. And God, the Holy Spirit, wants to produce that peace in your life. The peace of God that passes all understanding. But listen to me. There's a formula you must follow to have this peace. And I'm going to give it to you today from the Bible. God's formula for peace, let me give it to you. And I have, I'm going to break it down real simple. You know, a guy told me when I first preached, keep it simple, stupid. So I'm going to try to break it down into two main things that you need and then some things under those. But how do you have peace of God in your heart? First of all, notice the peace of God is always, listen, a peace in the midst of a storm. One time there was a competition, a painting competition, and the assignment was, who is the painter, the artist, that can paint peace the best? And there were all these like agricultural scenes with sheep and a shepherd, and then, you know, a scene of a meadow and a scene of a forest, and it was all tranquil and everything was really nice. But one of the paintings had a ocean with a gale force hurricane-like wind coming in. The waves were kicking up. Out of the sky, lightning was bolting down. Thunder was crashing down. And the wind was blowing furiously. And then there was a cliff leading to the ocean. And in that cliff, there was a hole in a big rock. And in that rock was a dove. And that dove was in there with her little baby doves. And totally at peace, because no wind was thrashing on her. No waves were spraying on her. She was protected in the cove of the rock. You see, that is the peace that God describes here, that it happens even though things around you. This morning, I don't know what's going on in your life, but God had me preach this message for a reason, right? You may have financial problems. You may have health problems. You may have domestic problems. You certainly know there are problems in our country, even though we thank God for Donald Trump and so many great things that have been brought in. I praise God for that, but there's still problems. And we know the hate and so forth that's been going on. And so I'm just saying that there are problems. What are you going to do with those problems? You can have peace in the midst of the storm. Here's what it says in Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You know, Judy Huss is here this morning. I see her back there. I saw you yesterday in Walmart. Do you remember what I said to you? I said, what's that?
You said, are you okay?
Are you okay? Yes, I did. Are you okay? I came up to her. Now, she's working. She's a cashier. She's checking out people. I said, are you okay? And then I said to her, keep looking up. I want to say that to you this morning. Are you okay? Keep looking up. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Because you're looking to God right now. You know, Peter's a great example of that. He said, Lord, I see you in the boat there, and there's a big storm, and there are waves, and I see you walking on the water. That must be a miracle. Yeah, it was a miracle. He said, Lord, invite me to come out. I want to walk on the water like you. And the Lord said, come on in, Peter. The water's fine. Walk on it. And Peter was looking right at Jesus, and he stepped out of the boat, and he's like, wow, the water, I'm walking on the water, this is really great. He just kept his eyes on Jesus. But then he said, I've been walking on the water for a while, now let me check out the wind. Whoa, that's blowing heavy. Look at these waves. Whoa, we're way out here in the middle. And you know what started happening? He started sinking and sinking. I've been there. You've been there. You had peace. The peace of God. Nothing changed in your circumstances, but your focus changed. I said to Judy, keep looking up, Judy. Look unto Jesus and keep your eyes on him. And that is expressed here as what it says, that you will have the peace of God which passeth all understanding. It shall keep your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And, okay, but what beyond that is the formula? Well, God gives you the formula to follow. Number one, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. So God, first of all, counsels you, and I want to counsel you this morning. Pretend you're in a counseling session. People come to me and say, Pastor, can I have counsel with you? How much do you charge for counsel? I said, I won't charge you anything if you come to church Sunday morning. and you listen. Hey, you come back Sunday evening, listen. I won't charge you. Come back Wednesday at 7. Listen, I won't charge you. Then for the fourth session, you come in, it'll be free. You had three sessions. The fourth one, you don't have to pay anything. So my counsel is from the Word of God. Worry about nothing that comes into your life, whether it's something big or something small. Because whenever you're fearful, fear is up, faith is down. Whenever you're worried about something, fear is up and faith is down, and you will not have the peace of God. But Jesus said, "Peace I give unto you, my peace, not as the world gives, I give unto you." Now, if you're walking against the Word of God and you're doing things that are contrary to the Word of God, you're already sacrificing your peace. You're already, you know, you've been into drugs, you go out and say, "I'm going to get drugs for my peace." No, you're going to give up your peace. "I'm going to go get alcohol." By the way, alcohol is a drug. And have peace. No, you're just depressing your system. It's going to get worse. I'm going to go out and have a relationship with the opposite sex that's not under marriage and not blessed. And no. You're not going to have peace by going against God's will, right? That's important, that you are walking with God and not worrying about anything, because as long as you're walking with God, you can keep God with you in everything you're going through. And that's what the word prayer here means. It's more general word for I realize that God is in control of everything I'm going through. Let me say something to you. Charlie Kirk just got killed. You think that was of the devil? I do. You know, witches put a spell on him. And they did it just before he was shot. And Erica knew about it. Charlie knew about it. It really bothered Erica. The witches did the same thing with Donald Trump. They've been doing it. And they said, "We have a problem. That guy's got a shield on him." You know what that shield is? Prayer. Now, but why was Charlie allowed to get killed? Because God gave permission. God gave permission. See, he's still God's devil. He doesn't run things. He's evil. You say, well, why would God give permission to an evil fallen angel to do those things? Because God loves you. And he says in Romans 8:28, God works all things together for good to them who love God. You say, this doesn't seem good. Well, have you ever had good baked goods and you put in some salt, put in some baking soda, and then you put in some sugar and you put in some chocolate and all of that? And when it's all done, you taste those things individually, a raw egg, you know, ugh. But you put it all together and bake it, and doesn't it taste good as brownies or whatever? That's how God's doing it in your life. You see, you have to take the next verse, verse 29. He works all things together for good because he's making you like Jesus Christ. And when he's done baking you, he's going to present you before the whole universe. And the Bible says when he brings in his kingdom on earth, you're going to reign with Jesus Christ. You're being trained to reign. Don't forget that. You're being trained to reign. In the kingdom that's coming, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, you think the second coming of Trump has been good. Wait till you see the second coming of Jesus. Oh, man, that's going to be so great. But you're being prepared for that right now. And the things you may think are worrisome, no, God allowed it. That's what prayer means, that you recognize that God allows all these things. But then it says, not only have an attitude of prayer, recognition of God in all your trials, but it says, and supplication. Let your requests be made known. You need to have supplications. Now, what are supplications? That means specific things that you can take right to God, and you can tell God, I'm having a problem with this thing, and you can tell him about it. You know, I got something little. I got a sty in my eye. Now, I found out 4 years ago I had a sty in my eye. My eye blew up like a cyclops. And that's what happens to me. I get a little sty, and my eye blows up like a cyclops. And what I did, I was in church preaching, and I had to put on some kind of mask to cover it because it looked so bad. But I told the kids, if you come to church, after my message, I'll line you up here in a line, and each kid will get to see that eye. And then I'll close it up again. And I had a line of kids. They all came to church. Didn't God use that for good? I'm just saying, God has a purpose. He can use these things for good in your life. And I've been asking God to help me. I told my wife, I got a sty. She said, have you been looking at something you shouldn't look at? I said, actually, no, it's not that. I said, but I know what it is. And I told her what it was. It was not that. And she just started laughing. Now you say, tell us what it is. You're not married. This is private. But God has a purpose in the big things and the small things. Sometimes it's just to test your faith. But he allows it for a good purpose. He's not against you. If you're saved, you have peace with him, and he wants you to have his peace inside of your heart. And so he says, not only prayer, not only recognizing God's in control, and then supplication, telling him specifically, Lord, why do I have this? What's the, you know, and if he doesn't give you an answer, you just trust him. And then it says, with thanksgiving. So often, we forget to thank God. You know, one of our psalms that we're reading right now in the church is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have you ever had a problem, and then all you can see is that problem, and you forget everything God has done for you? I've had styes before. Every time he's healed me. The Bible says he healeth all our diseases. You say, yeah, but what if I don't? What if I have something incurable and I die from it? He's going to heal it at the resurrection. He's going to heal every disease. By his stripes we're healed. I'm not a charismatic in that I believe that you can just demand healing right now for everything. God can heal, yes. But sometimes he wants to wait till the resurrection. But he will heal you. I'm just saying that you can take your problem to God, and he does heal all our diseases. And he has healed diseases for me in my life many times, and for you. He's brought you through things, and you can thank him for those things. Diane, I talked to her yesterday morning, and you told me you were not feeling well. And I could see it. She was not feeling well. She has a lot of responsibility on Saturday, and she was like, Pastor, I'm not feeling well. And I just put my hand on her, and I put my hand up to God, and I prayed for her. And later on, she said, Pastor, I'm feeling better. I said, praise the Lord. You know, she stepped out in faith. But you know what? She told me, I want to give thanks for four things God did in my life last year. And she gave them to me, four different things. And I thank God for that, because that helps us in our faith. If you just pray and you ask God for things and you say, God, here I am again. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. If you just do that, you're going to have your faith go right down, because you're going to get so caught up in what you're asking for that you're going to doubt God's cares and he's going to do anything. But if you think to thank, wow. You know, that's what the Israelites did. They were out in the wilderness 40 years, and they would come up to a problem, no water. They would come up to a problem, I need food. They would come up and need this and that. And every time they charged God and said, you brought us out here to kill us, didn't you, God? And they charged Moses, you led us out here. Moses said, I follow God. You know? But you know what? We do the same thing. And then they made God prove himself to them. You prove you're good. If you do something good for me, then you're God. No, we ought to thank God for what he's done. And then we ought to say, God, I believe this is for a good purpose in my life. I remember I went through something really hard in my life. The hardest thing I went through in my life. Hardest thing. I said, I'd rather be accused of murder and, you know, be executed than what I went through. But here's what happened. I remember Job, and Job said, though he slay me, speaking of God, yet will I trust him. Can't you trust him? That's how peace comes. It comes when your mind is stayed on the Lord and you don't forget all his benefits. If my mind was stayed on Candace Owens, I wouldn't have any peace. I don't listen to her anymore. I used to. But I can't listen to all that garbage. I'm sorry. I can't do it. You've got to choose what you're going to focus on. Philippians 4 says, whatsoever things are good, lovely, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I don't want to hear Turning Point USA helped to kill Charlie Kirk, or Israel killed Charlie Kirk, or his wife killed. That's baloney. I want to hear that stuff. You got it, you take it somewhere else. Don't bring it to me. Let the court take care of it. Let God take care of it through the justice system. You're not the justice system right now. You're part of it, but you're not hearing the case. I'm saying peace in your heart. God says you can have it. Do you have the peace with God? If you don't, Jesus offers it to you right now if you'll but look to him and surrender to his verdict in your life. And secondly, you can have peace in your heart no matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter. Brother Jose Gonzalez going through some hard things. I'm praying for him. Brother Eddie Brent, we talked about going through some very difficult stuff, very difficult pain, has to have surgery. But he can have that peace. You can have that peace. God cares. Jesus cares. Casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. He loves you. I pray for Candace Owen. I love to see Candace get back. She got off the deep end of the pool somehow. But I pray for her to come back. I got to call her out because of what she's saying in public. I'm sorry. I love my enemies. I pray for them. But the Lord cares, and he can give you his peace. He wants you to have it. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. I wonder this morning, you say, preacher, I know I have